Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
It's The Fan Late Night with Sean Drotar on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
The Denver Nuggets tip off their season tomorrow night in Portland. That stacked division is going to be a very, very interesting one for the Nuggets, who are now living with the expectations of being the team to beat. So I want to bring in our Nuggets insider, Matt Moore, who joins us courtesy of Budweiser. And Matt, this game, obviously, it's one of 82, but the Nuggets maybe have never been in this position where they are expected to not only win the division, but maybe be the best team in a stacked Western Conference. Is there any concern that this team might take those expectations and have a couple bumps early on?
I think it's reasonable. You know, I project them to win fewer games than last year. I think it's possible they win fewer regular season games and are a better team overall. I think that's honestly maybe the goal, because you want to kind of get ready for a long playoff run. Like Michael Malone talked about that, about how they're playing for a 100-game season, not an 82-game season anymore. They're trying to play into June, and so you have to kind of reorient how much you go after certain games. And so there's kind of, I think, expectations that there might be a little bit of a drag. It's still a tough division. The Blazers will be better than expected because Terry Stotts and Damian Lillard just kind of do that. The Jazz are going to be the biggest threat, I think, for the division. It's why these kind of games are going to be really important. If you want to get a comfortable lead for home court, if you want to be the number one or number two seed, you need to win your home games, you need to win your teams versus opponents under 500, and you need to win games versus division opponents. So that's why, even from the first game on in the Western Conference, there are no off nights. This first game is actually important.
Well, the Nuggets won 54 games last year. The Trail Blazers were right behind them at 53. Jazz, who you mentioned, by the way, and I agree, they're very dangerous, were a few games behind winning 50. But you think the Nuggets will win fewer games? They already played more than a few little games with the standings at the end of last year, trying to sort of manipulate the seedings. Where do you think they land if they win fewer than 54 games?
I think they're probably going to be 3 or 4. I think that's it. Now, I think their ceiling is like 60 games and a one seed. You know, that projection is based off of, okay, they should regress a little bit in terms of their defense. They should regress a little bit in terms of what they got from the bench players that stepped up so big in December and January when three starters were out. Just a whole bunch of things that went their way last year. I think the regression is probably likely to lead to fewer wins. However, like there's a model here. There's a roster here. There's a continuity for them to win 60, which is why you're going to see these projections all over from various places that vary between them being, you know, somewhere between 50 and the one seed. 50 wins and the one seed is where almost everybody has them. I think that's kind of like the range, and how they go about it, they can look like real contenders. The question is going to be, how much do they put the pedal down to win all those games in order to get to that mark, or do they kind of be more conservative, especially with Nikola Jokic coming off of a long playoff run into FIBA play, right into training camp. That's a concern for the coaching staff and the front office. I know that for certain. They're going to keep an eye on that as the year progresses. And every game that Jokic is out, you know, those are going to be tough games to win.
We're talking with our Nuggets insider, Matt Moore. And Matt, why do you think the defense will regress? I mean, obviously, Paul Millsap was healthy for most of last year, but Gary Harris, one of their better defenders, was not. Why do you think it's going to get worse when so many of these younger guys are getting a little more experience?
I think there's a good chance that some guys can step out, like Jeremy Grant. The reason is mostly it's mostly a statistical quirk. So through three-fourths of the year, the Nuggets gave up the second most threes per 100 possessions, and they had a top 10 mark in three-point percentage. And what all the data kind of indicates is that that's mostly luck, that eventually those numbers are going to kind of regress to the mean, and your opponents are going to hit a kind of standard amount. Limiting three-point possessions is more important. And we've already seen in preseason, the Nuggets are trying to layer on top of that where they're saying, okay, we don't need our big three. Let's try and guard the rim a little bit better, because Michael Malone's always trying to get them to perfection. Well, the problem is, if you start doing that, they're going to give up more threes. They have good defensive personnel, but they don't have enough size. Gary Harris, Jamal Murray, Monte Morris, they have a small backcourt. You're going to give up a high number of threes, and the likelihood is that that means a little bit of defensive regression. I don't think they're going to drop off the map. I think they might be a little worse, and all these little edges in the Western Conference can take you down a few wins.
So are we perhaps, is the excitement around the Nuggets maybe a little bit overhyped? Is this a team that maybe isn't quite as explosive and as dangerous as we're expecting? Or is this just sort of a change that you can expect to see from year to year?
I would say the way I put this is there's just a big difference between being a great regular season team and being a real powerhouse in the West. The Nuggets are a real powerhouse in the West. It's not about how many games they win. Like, honestly, you saw it last season. You saw it last postseason. You know, they lost key games at home, but then they went on the road, and they won in San Antonio and in Portland in huge game fours that were must-wins. Like, this team can go on the road and get those wins. They don't need the one seed in order to win the title. They can beat anybody in the West. The West is open. And so you have to be able to keep yourself healthy and keep your energy level up and maintain all those things. You have to play the long game because that's just how the NBA is now, and every team is going to be doing that, and that means that those regular season wins aren't as important. But the Nuggets will beat up on the bad teams. They'll still have a great record. They're still going to be a really good team, and they're going to be talked about as, do you really want to play this team in the playoffs? That, I think, is going to be the big thing that people are going to be divided over, is whether they're just a regular season team that can't get it done in the playoffs. Or if, like me, you look at last year and you go, look, they already got to have a tough series versus San Antonio. They took Portland to 7. They were right there. They should have won that game. This team, I think, is better for the playoffs than advertised. The Nuggets are a powerhouse. They may win fewer games, and both those things can be true at the same time.
I'll give you a couple of young players here, and let me know what we should expect. Number one is going to be Malik Beasley, who, by the way, kind of had a breakout season last year. And as he was starting, he was up to almost 16 points a game average. He was a really effective player. What do you expect to see from Beasley this season? And then, of course, a guy that plays maybe a similar wing position. Obviously, we have to talk about Michael Porter Jr.
So Malone was interesting in talking about Michael Porter Jr. today. He spoke about how he's going to have to earn minutes. Porter Jr. is going to have to earn his minutes. That, you know, he's got guys in front of him that are ready to win now, and that's going to be the thing. Because I think Michael Porter Jr. is going to have these spurts where he has a huge third quarter, and it looks like, okay, he's in the rotation. And then he's going to make a mistake, have a really bad sequence of plays defensively, or stop the ball on offense, and then he's going to get yanked, and he's going to have to earn his way back in again. It's going to be a slow progress for MPJ. His ceiling is exceptionally high, but he's going to have to earn minutes over really good players. I think Beasley is primed for a great season. He's in a contract year. They didn't reach the contract extension despite the Nuggets having put out what I've sources said were multiple offers trying to get to the number where they could get a deal done, couldn't do it. He is primed. He's in great shape. He's added muscle. He's a consistent three-point shooter. He is a better in-game player to me than any wing player that isn't, you know, maybe, you know, Will Barton. I think he's the best wing player that they have outside of Will Barton and Gary Harris. He will still play mainly backup too. He's going to get a lot of opportunities. He's going to have great stats in terms of his efficiency because of where he fits in Nuggets offense. I think he's playing for a huge year. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up on the trade block at the deadline, just based off of his value on the market and this free agency coming up next year. But it's going to be, I think, a huge year for Malik Beasley.
Did the Nuggets have any chance of keeping him long-term? Or is this sort of a foregone conclusion after signing with Clutch Sports, which seems to send everybody to the Lakers and LeBron James?
Well, they're still going to have restricted free agent rights on him, so they'll still be able to retain him. They want to keep him, but it's going to be about the number, and some of that is the restrictions that are on the team in terms of the luxury tax. And so if they can get the number done, a lot of that's going to be the Nuggets are going to try and present the case to the rest of the league. We're going to match any offer. Anything you put on the table, we're matching. And they're going to try and get that number down by scaring off suitors. We'll have to see how all that shakes out with the projections. Some of that's tied to this China situation that's evolving. There's all these things that can influence the cap. This is a very fluid situation. The Nuggets, I think, want him back, but I do think that there's going to have to be a price at which they let him walk. So that's going to be the big key, is what does the market look like for him next summer?
We are talking with our Nuggets insider, Matt Moore. And Matt, obviously we know how great Nikola Jokic is. We'll have a chance to touch on him over the course of the season. But the last player I want to ask you about is Jamal Murray. Received the brand new enormous contract in July. He has obviously improved each season. But what does Jamal Murray need to do to make that next step to be this secondary, absolutely fearsome weapon that the Nuggets need alongside Jokic?
Worry about wins, don't worry about numbers. That's the biggest thing for him. You know, Murray's point guard for one of the best passing teams in the league, with one of the best passing, like, complete players in the league in Nikola Jokic offensively. He's got weapons all around him, and he's got a guaranteed max contract. He's not going to lose his starting spot. He doesn't have to worry about anything. What he needs to do is focus on, if he doesn't have it going, get other guys going. If he does have it going, make sure other guys are eating. Like, that was my big problem with him in Game 7 versus the Blazers. Gary Harris had it going and didn't see the ball because Murray was locked in trying to be the hero. Murray needs to understand that he doesn't have to be that to be an extremely successful starting point guard. He's going to have nights where he scores 40. He's going to have nights in his career where he scores maybe 50 or more. But he's got to have the confidence in his role and his importance to the team to know he doesn't have to always look to score to get himself out of trouble. Learning those next steps, as well as maybe playing defense just like a little bit better, those are the keys for him, I think, this season.
He is Matt Moore. He'll be joining us after Nuggets games all season long right here on the Fan Late Night. Matt, thanks so much. Enjoy the season opener, and thanks for the primer here. I think some information that maybe folks are excited about the season didn't necessarily think about, so appreciate it. Looking forward to catching you tomorrow after, hopefully, a season-opening win.
All right, man. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, thank you. That was our Nuggets Insider, Matt Moore. Thanks to Budweiser, official beer sponsor of the Denver Nuggets.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.